You're listening to the Fantasy Sports Radio Network. You are now tuned in to the Roto Experts.
Hour number two, Roto Experts here, live on the Fantasy Sports Radio Network. This is the Fantasy Executive. That is the king over there. It's Wall Street. I'm Greg. We're back here in a bit. We're going to go live on YouTube. So you want to watch us, check it out. YouTube.com/Fantasy Sports Network. We talk about Ezekiel Elliott and if we saw his last game of the fantasy regular season this past Sunday. We'll talk about that and his performance coming up in just about 5 or so minutes from now. We were talking about the Ravens, we were talking about the Bills and the Raiders before we hit the break. And DeAndre Washington caught 8 passes yesterday for 62 yards and a touchdown. He also was the quote unquote leading rusher with 26 yards on the ground. Jalen Richard's 21. 6 carries for him. Richard had 5. Corey, ultimately, how do you replace Marshawn Lynch? You don't run the ball.
Yeah, basically, that's how you replace Marshawn Lynch. What is this? This is not enough. This is 14 carries, but you got to look at the game script that they had today. Carr threw the ball 49 times. They were down at halftime 14-7, and after that, they kind of just abandoned it from that point. So, I mean, moving forward, you see, I think it's a combination of these two guys. I think they're going to have their weeks, but 1 week you're going to be like, Washington's going to be the guy. The next week, Rashad's going to be the guy. But I will tell you who will never be the guy, Marshawn Lynch.
Do you think that either of these running backs, Scott, DeAndre Washington, Jalen Richard, did enough to continue to push Marshawn Lynch out?
No. I think Lynch presents a different style than they do. I think it's going to be a three-headed committee going forward.
Matt, if you are a DeAndre Washington owner, as I am in a spot, but Jalen Richard owner in another spot, if I own either of these guys, the Raiders go into a bye this week. Is there a reason to hold on to either of them?
I mean, I would. I'm looking at what Lynch has done. I mean, week one, he had 18 rushes. That's his high. It's pretty much been, you know, like 12 rush attempts he's been capped at. So, and who knows with this guy? If he's 31, whatever, he can get hurt. He's volatile, you know, personality. Something could piss him off, and he could walk out again. You just never know. I wouldn't get rid of either one of these.
He's brand building right now. He's not tripping off the Raiders.
Yeah, I agree with that.
He's brand building. He doesn't care about that.
Don't the Raiders recognize that? Shouldn't the Raiders recognize that too?
Right now they're thinking they probably should have recognized it before the season started.
I mean, look, he's only got 2 rushing touchdowns on the season.
It's more than Jay Jai.
His high rushing yards is 76. So I mean,
if you thought Oakland was going to be one of the better teams in the AFC, then it would have worked because he would have had game script in his favor. This team is going to be playing helter skelter from behind football for the rest of the way.
Yeah, you know,
and he can't play that game.
No.
At this point in his career, he's not going to be out there catching passes in the third quarter. No. That's not what he does.
No, he's used to his career like dominating the clock, finishing like Corey said. He's far from that now.
I'm going to take a break. We're going to come back. What do we do? We'll turn on the cameras. We'll go YouTube live. Do we see Ezekiel Elliott's last game of the fantasy regular season? Well, we'll discuss that and what he did against Washington on the other side. This is the Fantasy Sports Radio Network.
Playing daily fantasy basketball this year? Consider Daily Roto your go-to resource. Whether you play on DraftKings or FanDuel, Daily Roto's customizable projections, podcasts, strategy guides, and lineup optimizer will help you compete with the pros in a fraction of the time. With a team featuring millionaire maker winners and live final champions, there's no better place to get your NBA DFS content. Better yet, you can save 10% using the promo code FNTSY. So go to dailyroto.com/premium and learn more about our awesome product.
On YouTube, we are the Roto Experts. Thanks so much for tuning in here this morning. We are live. That is Wall Street, Matt Modica. This is the King, Scott Angle. Corey Parson is running in here. There he is. He's a fantasy executive. And I'm happy Corey's back here because we wanted to get you an opportunity to talk about Ezekiel Elliott. The big story on Monday was, is he going to be suspended for the next six games? He told Adam Schefter last night he's very confident he will play the rest of the season. Corey, you've been confident since the beginning that Ezekiel Elliott will not be suspended here in 2017. How do you think this plays out?
They're going to keep dragging the process out as we see they're doing right now. So I think Zeke gets done what he needs to get done today, clears him up for the rest of the season. And then you got your RB1 moving forward. Maybe the top RB moving forward in fantasy football, period. Because he is starting to play himself into shape. As crazy as that sounds, he's starting to play himself into shape, huh?
Sure.
Yeah, he's looking a lot better the last two games. Like, yeah. you can see that extra gear when he gets to the second level of the defense. And you know what, Corey? It's like, I'm hopeful. It's like the authorities didn't find anything here. Maybe the NFL wants him an example of him. I don't know, but I got him in two leagues.
They got more things to worry about now.
I got him in two leagues, and a lot of people watching have him. You know, it's like I want this to be resolved in his favor.
Yeah, but I mean, you look at the situation, and now he started the season slow last year too. The first two or three weeks last year wasn't, then you saw as he got towards the middle of the season the breakout. But anytime this guy's touching the ball 30 times a game, that kind of talent running behind that offensive line, I think he's RB1, R2. Le'Veon Bell's just such a beast. But moving forward, as long as he's on the field, he's running back too. Everybody out there with Darren McFadden and Alfred Morris, y'all get to see what y'all got. Looks like today will be that day. So I think Ezekiel Elliott is going to be fine moving forward. And he's going to be on teams that's going to be making some deep playoff pushes.
I think one of the things, I remember the Monday night game versus Arizona, people were like, last year Zeke would have took that to the house.
Yeah.
The last couple of weeks, we've seen the Zeke from last year.
Yeah.
We've seen that extra burst.
He was skipping towards the end zone yesterday.
He really is.
He was just a beast yesterday. Carried the ball 33 times for Dallas for 150 yards. He had two touchdowns. And Dak Prescott only completed 14 passes yesterday for 143 yards. No touchdowns, no interceptions. It's funny. We've called Dak Prescott the number one quarterback in fantasy this year, and he was. Yesterday, disgusting storm in Washington. They just let the big man carry them home.
Yeah, they just let him drive it down. Dak Prescott, obviously, wasn't the kind of performance you wanted from fantasy, but he was out there yesterday to facilitate, drive the bus, get in the D.C., get that win. I think we'll see more of those high-octane games coming up from Dak Prescott as we move throughout the course of the season.
Yeah, it was a weather thing because Cousins didn't play well either, although he was missing a lot of offensive linemen. Usually, Dak, no matter what the game script is, you can depend on him. I think my concern, and I love this guy. I was very high on him during the offseason. I felt like he had a quiet offseason. But when I watch Dez Bryant nowadays, I just don't see any of that big play explosion that I used to see. He's still getting the touchdowns, but we were talking about Alshon Jeffrey turning into a tight end. I don't need Dez Bryant to start turning into a tight end. Now, look, he's still got four touchdowns, all right? But he's one game over 65 yards. This is not the Dez Bryant that I'm expecting. It's just like, he's not doing anything after the catch. It's not just yesterday with the weather. He has one game over 63 yards
this year.
I was about to say, that's a great point. What is the difference between him and Alshon Jeffrey right now as wide receiver twos? Alshon Jeffrey had a 53-yard, whatever it was, catch and run yesterday. We don't see that from Dez at all. Maybe we need to call him out on it like we did Jeffrey, and he does it. He's averaging 11.4 yards per catch. It's the lowest of his career. And last year with Dak Prescott, this guy was averaging 15.9 yards per catch, the highest of his career. It's like, I'm concerned when I look at Dez Bryant right now in film.
Yeah, Dez had that 4 for 39 yesterday. Scotty mentioned it. Everything kind of got, we talked about this a little bit on Friday where we're going into Is Mike Lyon, and that was the fact that Dez Bryant, outside of just being this red zone beast and someone that Dak Prescott looks to every single time they get down there, it's been nothing.
The yardage after the catch, the make people miss after the catch. I love from Dez. It's not there anymore. I'm not seeing it at all. It's not just yesterday.
Yeah,
he's had a really tough schedule when you look at the cornerback wide receiver,
which we
matchup.
All knew coming into the
year. We all knew that, but he is still a red zone weapon. I mean,
massively.
He's still going to pay off. I mean, you have him. Maybe he's not that top guy that he was in the past, but he's still very good, and I take him over many other.
He's not a wide receiver one. He's a wide receiver two now, which is like a little disappointing. But to his point about cornerbacks, like in the past, it's like we've seen Dez go up against top competition, you know, and, you know, make his hay, and he's not doing it.
Well, here's the thing, right, Scotty?
It's not the cornerbacks, I'm saying.
Well, I understand that, but I think I don't want to say it's not the cornerbacks. I think that's part of it to me. Because you like to say, when I called you out for having Dez Bryant ranked so highly in your preseason rankings, I was like, listen, like these cornerbacks are really, really good. And you're like, sometimes the quarterbacks will win some of it. When you're that good of a wide receiver, sometimes you're going to win too. The quarterback doesn't always win. And in this case, the quarterback doesn't always win against Dez Bryant because he's such a red zone force. But outside of that, when you're all over the field, as Matt has pointed out, Dez Bryant is just not himself. I mean,
it's not the cornerbacks, because whether they're good or they're not, you know, he's not showing that big play ability.
Not including yesterday.
Okay.
Dez Bryant is wide receiver 17, averaging 14 points per game in the PPO. Mm-hmm. He's a wide receiver 2.
Absolutely.
Yeah, I don't.
No, he's not killing. Drafted, like, you know. I think the point.
He was not drafted as a wide receiver 2. He was drafted as a wide receiver 1.
He was drafted in the second round.
In the second round.
But that's a wide receiver 1, though. I mean, you're
that's not what you drafted him.
I agree.
Yeah, he was definitely drafted as a top 10 wide receiver.
Correct.
All right, so he's wide receiver 17 right now. Kansas City, Atlanta, Philadelphia, and the Clippers coming up.
Clippers, huh?
Yeah, I'm just going with the Clippers now.
Yeah, but he's
going to call them the Clippers.
He had 63 yards. He had 63 yards against San Francisco. He had 52 against Green Bay. It's like those are not good defensive backfields.
Look, you're not losing your season because of Dez Bryant.
Yeah, exactly.
No. He hasn't been elite. But he's still been good.
It's better than Julio Jones.
I mean, he's been the same as, I mean, Michael Thomas. You know what I'm saying? Was drafted as a wide receiver 1 in that range. Dez Bryant's having a better season than he is. So, Keenan Allen, you know what I mean? Devontae Adams. Cooks averages 14 points per game. You know, so I'm not, you want more, obviously, but I'm not like this guy's killing me.
Yeah. No, I don't think anybody ever said that. That wasn't the point, that he's killing anybody. It's just, you know, you drafted him as a top 10 wide receiver, and, you know, it's like, it's almost an Alshon Jeffrey kind of situation.
What top 10 wide receivers are hitting?
Antonio Brown, obviously.
All right, Odell is done. Evans is...
Julio stinks.
Julio stinks.
Yeah.
Evans is hitting. Hmm? Cooks.
AJ Green's hitting.
AJ Green is not hitting. AJ Green has been horrible.
He's been horrible. Whatever. Where is he?
He's wide receiver 5.
I don't know about that one.
He's been horrible.
I understand he's sticking up for your board.
17 points per game.
That
right?
hits. Wait. He's wide receiver 5.
He is. He's hitting. AJ Green is hitting.
All right.
Mike Evans. Yeah. Are we satisfied with Brandon Cooks?
No.
Averaging 14 points per game.
Brandon Cooks is... I'm looking here. He's played 8 games. He is wide receiver 9 in PPR that I'm looking at.
So then he hit, and he's top 10 wide receiver.
Yeah, for me,
he's averaging 14 points a game. That's the same thing as Dez is averaging, 14 points per game.
So then you should be happy with Dez.
Yeah, I don't think...
Michael Thomas has like 5 games of about 80-plus yards.
Dez has played one less game. He's had the bye. So.
And Brian has like 1 game above 65, so Thomas has been a little bit better. But Thomas... has been disappointing.
Thomas is also averaging 14 points a game in the PPR. So it's not like these dudes are racing away with a Jordy Nelson. Don't have no quarterback now. You know, so.
I mean, we also got to remember, I think Dez's schedule lightens up a bit as far as the quarterback like matches.
Yeah, but I don't know if I can do that. He had 53 yards against the 49ers.
Look, 8 games, week 8 is coming to an end. There's still a half a season left.
I hope it gets better.
You know, I mean, look, I mean, it happens in baseball, too. Guys like Justin Turner, like Brian Dozier, people cut him a year ago. He went on and hit like 30 home runs.
But baseball's different. You get hot, you get cold.
But it's the same in football, too. No. Jimmy Watkins, 2 years ago, in the last 8 games, was the best wide receiver in the game.
I agree with you that it can get better.
There's a second half last year.
You got to look at schedules are going to open up. Things are going to get, you know, certain teams, some have faced the toughest part of their schedule. So I'm not writing off guys that have been proven. I want to see what they do over the course of a year. That's
look, I'm saying, yeah, you're right. Could be right. Could get better. But I can't get confidence when he did nothing against the 49ers. And I wouldn't compare it to baseball. It's a different game.
They beat him 40 to nothing. They beat him like 40 to nothing.
Yeah, but that's not what I'm talking about, though.
What are you talking about?
I'm talking about Dez Bryant being a little bit disappointing.
Cool.
Not about whether they beat the 49ers or not.
Do you own him anyway?
Is not why your fantasy team
you lose. Are you losing games because of him?
No. We're back with more here on the Fantasy Sports Radio Network.
The award-winning Fantasy Sports Radio Network is your free fantasy source 24 hours a day, 365 days a year. You can catch this show and many others live on the Fantasy Sports Radio Network app, iHeartRadio, or TuneIn Radio. Want to listen on your computer at work? Go to fntsy.com/radio or check us out on YouTube Live on the Fantasy Sports Network YouTube page, where you can ask questions, discuss topics with other fantasy enthusiasts, or tell everyone that you disagree. Call into your favorite show and ask your questions on the air. The number is 844-843-6879. The Fantasy Sports Radio Network is the only totally free 24/7, 365 days a year fantasy sports network of its kind without a subscription. The Fantasy Sports Radio Network, your fantasy source.
Fantasy Sports Radio Network. You guys are all arguing about Dez before we went to break. Do you want to get back into that, or you feel like your piece has been set?
Piece has been set.
I think so.
Right. Just making sure give the opportunity then. Just remember, tonight, we got a lot on the NBA slate. So if you're thinking of giving DFS a try, Fantasy Factor is a perfect daily fantasy site for you. It's for you, the casual recreational player. Flatter prize pool, smaller fields, single entry contest only. Fantasy Factor runs NFL and NBA free rolls every week. They are free to enter. Simply sign up today at www.fantasyfactor.com. What are you laughing at?
I saw something funny, a funny headline.
All right. Would you like to reveal that?
No, because okay. then they'll act like I did something wrong.
Okay, so I'll just move on then. So in the rain, the other side of the Cowboys was Washington yesterday. Kirk Cousins behind an offensive line that was just beaten and battered up, missing three starters. I lost another one yesterday, so four starters along the offensive line were out. They were putting in guys they had literally signed earlier in the week. Kirk threw for 263 yards, threw a touchdown, 1 yard touchdown to Josh Doctson to save his day, and an interception. Running game here is useless, and this is the difference between the two teams, right? Like, in a rain where it's very, very tough to move the ball, the Cowboys were able to ride Ezekiel Elliott. The Redskins could not ride a Chris Thompson or a Robert Kelly at all.
Another thing, too, is if you own Vernon Davis, I mean, Jordan Reed again, it looks like the hamstring. It's a shame because he's such a talent, but he's just never healthy. I mean, a hip, a toe, now it looks like a hamstring. So, I mean, going forward, if you had Vernon Davis, he's probably going to be a useful player.
Yeah, and Reed is beat up.
Yeah, we were saying it last week, you know, like, trade him now before he gets hurt again, and it came true. As far as the running game, right, you got to be able to pound that ball, you know, in conditions like that. But, you know, Thompson, even though he lost a fumble on special teams, still put up the numbers. This guy is going to continue to catch the ball a lot out of the backfield because neither Kelly nor P. Ryan can do anything.
Yeah, but that game was decided on those turnovers. They were in that game. They had a chance. And you can't keep turning the ball over on a back-to-back series and giving Dallas that field position. And stuff.
Yeah.
No.
You know, you first off, you're playing beat up and all that. And you're playing in terrible conditions. And if you repeatedly turn the ball over, you put Dallas in prime spots. You know, you're not going to win.
And then you can't stop the run.
Yeah, they don't have a running game. It's going to continue to be Chris Thompson catching screen passes, being 100%. This year's version of Theo Riddick with actually more explosion.
Chris Thompson yesterday, 8 catches for 76 yards. He was the second leading receiver. The day belonged to Jameson Crowder. And I never thought we'd say that again, but it did. 9 catches for 123 yards. And Corey, it was almost like the coaches woke up and was like, listen, this is our most talented wide receiver. Let's get him.
My darling kid called this one. Dallas gets destroyed by slot wide receivers. Mm-hmm. Slot wide receivers destroyed the Dallas Cowboys. The all-in kid, Jake Seeley, he saw this one coming. He wrote it up. He wrote it up as one of his sleepers. He talked up playing Jameson Crowder all week, and Jameson Crowder did exactly that. He went in that slot, and he got busy. So that's something to watch moving forward. Slot receivers versus the Dallas Cowboys having these big games. As far as Crowder moving forward, I think you should leave him on the waiver wire.
You should leave him on the waiver wire. It's a one-week thing.
Yep.
Just because the Cowboys are so bad against slot receivers.
It was a matchup.
Okay, so there you go. That's from the fantasy executive right there. Leave him on the waiver wire. He's somebody that was dropped. We ourselves told you to drop him everywhere. Fantasy executive says leave him on the waiver wire.
Yeah, but I mean, this week...
You might need him this week.
Probably didn't need him. Like yesterday in the classic, in the 14-teamer, Andy asked me, my partner Andy Saxton, we had Macklin. We started Macklin on Thursday, so we had to choose two out of the three. And I was like, I want Crowder in there. I said, put Snead in, because I figured Snead would get involved against that Bears. They're home. Time to get Willie Snead.
Talk about that in a few moments.
And I was like, sit, Lockett. That, you know, I was right on Crowder, wrong on Snead. Lockett had a good
day. Here's the thing about Crowder. They go to Seattle next week. What pass catcher is going to have a respectable game, at least against the Seahawks? I think it's Vernon. I think it's Vernon Davis.
Yeah, I think you're right there, Scott.
Okay.
Yeah. Crowder could easily. I'm not saying he will. Crowder could easily have that big game, and then next week it could be nothing because Seattle might be like, okay, you know, let's try to cover Davis and Crowder and see if Pryor and Doxson can beat us, and you know Pryor can't.
They're going to get beat up again next week, Washington. That old line again.
That's terrible.
Yep, they
couldn't ask for like a worse man.
They're going to get beat up again next week, that's good for them.
Would you start Kirk Cousins in this game or no?
I would start Kirk Cousins. Okay. He's going to have to shoulder the load.
Okay.
Yeah, I mean, unless you have a better option.
I don't know if I would, because yesterday you had a team go in there that was, like, as Emery Hunt said to me yesterday morning, they match up well with them. I don't think Washington does, because they won't be able to run the ball at all, and I just don't think Kirk Cousins has the kind of receiving talent that Deshaun Watson does.
Speaking of the receiving talent, started as Terrell
Pryor. You wouldn't say that's why you play Kirk Cousins, unless you think they're going to beat him 40 to nothing.
I would want to. I'm saying, you know, there might be spots where I have to because I drafted Kirk Cousins and maybe I don't have a better backup, but I'm saying it's something I would not feel comfortable doing.
He's going to throw the football probably about 40 times next week, though.
I don't know if... I think it might be one of the games where the script is not like that, where bam, incompletion, bam, no run. I think there could be a lot of three and outs next week.
So you think they can beat him 40 to nothing?
I didn't say they could shut him out. I'm saying it could be a thing of like 34 to 16 or something.
Don't know what six teams on a bye, and I'm kind of looking at the schedule, just looking ahead. How many other good options are going to be out there?
I can guarantee you Cousins is going to throw the ball 40 times next week.
Yeah. Let's talk about that wide receiver crew that's not nearly as good as Will Fuller and DeAndre Hopkins in Houston.
I think Will Fuller in four games has more yardage receiving than any of their wide receivers.
Only got 10 catches.
I don't doubt that at all. But Terrell Pryor, who was obviously a thing for a while, everyone at this table said you could drop him. It's fine last week. Useless. We played 20 snaps, and that was it. Garbage. Josh Doxson played as many snaps as Jameson Crowder, and he was targeted three times. He drew the pass interference in the end zone, caught a touchdown one play later, and that was it.
He dropped a big pass, too.
Dropped a big pass, absolutely.
That's the second time we've seen that this season.
Matt, this is your situation, man.
Yeah, no, it's... look, I'm... I've moved on to praying that Corey Davis becomes the thing. I got Corey Davis shares. So we're going to roll the dice on Corey. I mean, look, it's been frustrating because this is a team that, you know, you thought they were going to be pass-heavy and all this, and they are, but it just seems like every week it's Thompson, it's Vernon Davis, or Jordan Reed's healthy for a half. And, you know, everybody else, Crowder had a big game. So, you know, maybe still Doxson can do something. But, you know, I'm moving on to Corey Davis time.
Yeah, the Doxson thing. Listen, it could happen. He could pop. I don't want to give up this quick. If you bought into the narrative of him being a top 30 wide receiver moving forward, like the all-in kid said, if you bought into that, you just don't give up that quickly on him. But I don't own him nowhere, and I'm not like running to go. I'm not buying him. I got Corey Davis on my bench, so I don't need.
She did the Corey Davis thing too.
Yeah,
they're going to continue to get the ball to him. I think because I think he's that deep in red zone threat, and they want him to have that role, and obviously Pryor's not going to have to fill it. So he's going to continue to get opportunities, I think.
You know, he may not. I mean, the opportunities yesterday was three times. Three targets. How many times did Kirk Cousins throw the ball yesterday? Dude threw the ball 40 times, and Josh Doctson, the number one wide receiver, was targeted three times.
Who else
there? 17 targets on the season.
Who else can stretch the defense there, though?
Can he do it?
I think so.
I don't know that he can.
I think they have to start getting vertical. Just take chances. You throw interceptions, you throw interceptions.
That is not this offense, though.
I know. That's been the biggest
thing. Kirk Cousins used to be a vertical guy.
Right. Not anymore.
DeShaun Jackson's gone, and they ain't throwing deep anymore.
Correct.
Sean McVay's on the other side of the country.
You're right.
I mean, I'm actually, with this Jordan Reed hamstring thing, I picked up Vernon Davis for a couple of dollars this week. And
yeah,
that might pay off for me. That might be the guy that pays off.
Yeah, I mean, it may be simple that. Vernon Davis, absolutely one of those guys that I want to pick up this week. Maybe the number one, I haven't looked at it yet. I'll do it tomorrow for the show. But maybe the number one guy I want this week, potentially. So we'll talk about one of the wide receivers that did go off. We had this question a lot last week. It was Josh Doctson or Juju all week. Those are the two guys versus everybody. And obviously last night, Juju Smith-Schuster did just that. He went off. Corey, he went wild.
Yeah, he did. He went wild and beat me in a couple leagues. You know what I'm saying?
Seven for 193 and a touchdown in the FU Martavis Bryant game.
More or less, that's what they said. And they kind of put it up. They kind of put it up there that way. Set it up perfectly. I mean, Smith-Schuster is a thing moving forward. So, if you bought on those, I wish I had him on in some more spots. I wish I did. But where I got him in the team is likely not going to make the playoffs anyway. But
fantastic Twitter follow.
Yeah, hey, Craig. Mr. Sussman, you okay? Concussed.
He was phenomenal on Twitter this week. He started out, nobody loves me, pretty much, about that. Then he said, you're welcome. And then he even put out the scouting report from, I guess, the combine and stuff. Couldn't separate, didn't run precise routes, didn't have breakaway speed, and we kind of saw that, you know, that one pass play. I mean, he had a very good game all around.
Yeah, his touchdown celebration was great, too, where he went to the sideline and chained up the exercise bike.
It's funny.
Yeah.
It was very funny. As we said, Juju, 193 and a touchdown yesterday in the We Don't Need You, Martavis Bryant game. And Mike Tomlin was asked after the game, can Martavis Bryant help you down the line, down the road? We'll see.
He was like, who?
Yeah, I mean, I don't know that Martavis Bryant will be active going forward.
They threw a pass to Justin Henry yesterday.
Justin Hunter.
Hunter.
There you go.
Yeah.
It's whatever.
It's irrelevant.
Now it's irrelevant.
Antonio Brown, man.
Laughing hyena.
If this is the week that you played Antonio Brown, You feel unscathed, man. 70 yards receiving on just five catches. Le'Veon Bell.
That one big 60-yarder.
I feel Le'Veon Bell unscathed, too. 76 yards, just one touchdown there. More Pittsburgh and Detroit when we come back here on the Road Records.
If you're playing daily fantasy basketball on DraftKings or FanDuel this NBA season, you need to sign up for Daily Roto. Built by a team featuring millionaire maker winners and live final champions, Daily Roto's customizable projections, podcasts, strategy guides, and lineup optimizer will help you compete with the pros in a fraction of the time. Better yet, you can save 10% off using the promo code FNTSY. So go to dailyroto.com/premium to learn more about their product.
RotoExperts.com/DKMS. You have the opportunity to go to the Super Bowl multiple ways now. And it's true. You head to the bottom of the page at RotoExperts.com/DKMS where you could learn more about becoming a bone marrow donor, giving your blood, swabbing your cheeks, and trying to save lives. You go to the Super Bowl multiple ways. One, you go to the bottom of the page. You enter a DFS contest. You win any of the first 16 weeks. You qualify for week 17. You go to the Super Bowl. And then, and we're proud to announce this, starting tomorrow across the Fantasy Sports Radio Network, we're doing our own Big Game Trivia Challenge. Much like you see in other places, you answer four questions in a row correctly. That's it. you go to the Super Bowl. And it is all sponsored by DKMS. So make sure you keep listening to the Fantasy Sports Radio Network, because all you need to do is answer four questions correctly in a row. Just like that, you're headed to the big game in Minnesota in February. Just like that. So, rotoexperts.com/DKMS.
Yeah, always fun to put a lineup in like I did yesterday. I think I'm now ranked 110th going into tonight, and I got one or two guys going. And you can always check out Mike Waterloo's rotoexperts.com/DKMS prime picks every Friday on rotoexperts.com.
All right, so there you go. Hey, we like to joke around here about the kickers. I wish everyone hates kickers and kickers and kickers and kickers. But
I don't hate kickers.
Matt Prater won a lot of people leagues last night.
Yeah, Matt Prater, I needed 14 points last night. When the half ended, I had already won the game because he had 17.
Amazing.
Yeah, you ended up with 20 in the NFFC. You know, when you talk about distance. Look, you don't have to, you don't have to put as much research into it, but I've been saying all along, be aware of kickers and defenses, who's trending in the right direction, especially the kickers. Because last week when I won in 7 of my 9 leagues, because my defense and kickers were getting a combination of 24 to 28 points for me on average. So you can have that save you in a given week. And also when you're looking to boost yourself in overall point totals because it's a tiebreaker, it's very important. Now, Jake Elliott, I actually subbed in for him in a few leagues because of the weather. He actually missed 2 extra points. As good as he could be, he still had 8 points, but you got to pay attention, some attention to these things.
You do.
There's so much narrative. Forget them. You can't completely forget them. Don't put the work in you do for other positions, but you can't overlook them.
You know what's interesting all about this is, Scotty, on most waiver wires this week were Matt Prater and Kai Forbath because of bye weeks coming up or bye weeks that have had and players that just not paying attention to kickers. And both Prater and Forbath, if you picked them up and started them, and I did, they helped you out in a major way.
Forbath has been really good recently. Because
Forbath, yeah. Elliott, Butker's going tonight.
Absolutely, yep. Sure.
Zerline's been really good this year as well.
Yeah.
Yeah, and you look at it. You look at a team like that, you know, that doesn't punch the ball in the red zone. Like, you know, look at all the red zone problems that the Lions had last night.
Sure.
You know, that's one of them. You know, people generally blanket look at kickers and say, okay, I want Gostkowski because the Patriots roll up a lot of points. Not that simple. You want to look for a team that stalls in the red zone.
Speaking of the Lions installing the red zone, last night, let's give you the statistics here. Amir Abdullah carried the ball 11 times for 27 yards. Your boy Dwayne Washington got involved six carries for 12 yards. Theo Riddick carried the ball 4 more times for 21 and only caught 2 passes for 24 yards. Corey, it's crazy when it comes to Theo Riddick because we all thought this would be the big Theo Riddick game, and then Golden Tate played.
Yeah, and then after that, you can erase Theo Riddick.
Correct.
Once Golden Tate was active, you should have took Theo Riddick out your lineup. The two of them don't coexist together.
No, and certainly not here in 2017. Yes, sir.
Atlanta. What's Atlanta record?
4-3.
Oh, they're 4-3.
They snapped a 3-game losing streak
the
yesterday.
The Jets and survivors, as Corey Parsons.
it was worth a shot.
Golden Tate did return last night. He basically played always, you know, a couple of less snaps than normal, but for the most part, played his full complement of snaps. 7-for-86 last night for Golden Tate.
And he got a minus 2. He lost a fumble.
And he did lose a fumble, yeah. Sure, but 7-for-86. For those that had picked up T.J. Jones and you were desperate, no Kenny Golladay.
He got you double-digit points.
Yeah, that's exactly what I'm saying. Yeah. 4-for-88, yep. Double-digit points on 8 targets. But the leading wide receiver for Detroit, Marvin Jones. Marvin Jones, 6 catches, 128 yards. The most targets and a leading wide receiver for Matthew Stafford. It was a good game for Marvin Jones, Scotty.
It was, you know, and he's getting deep. And Stafford is throwing up the jump ball. I don't trust him on a week-to-week basis. But, you know, you didn't know what you were getting with Tate. And they had to throw the ball a ton last night. They were playing from behind. Matthew Stafford had that most interesting line of throwing for 400 yards without a touchdown pass.
Crazy, right?
Yeah. That was pretty crazy how they couldn't get in. Some terrible goal line calls when they had that ball on the one, you know, would have been inside the 3 around the 1 yard line. But I mean, look, Marvin Jones, for where he went this year in drafts, he's been a good receiver. He's helped you out when if you needed to play him in certain spots. And Golden Tate, I mean, I thought this guy was going to be out for like a month at least.
But crazy.
I'm happy he's back.
Dr. A said 7 yeah. weeks optimal recovery time.
And 7-for-86 seems optimal enough for me.
Yeah. That yesterday, like, you know, Corey was always making a good point about if he's active, if I start him. Golden Tate and Melvin Gordon were excellent examples of that axiom yesterday.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
Yeah, well, I mean, Melvin Gordon, you always got to start, but you definitely want to have Austin Ekeler on your bench just in case. Look, he's not going to be Melvin Gordon, but you just want him, especially in that Anthony Lynn offense.
No doubt. No doubt about it there. Eric Ebron yesterday.
No.
I just want to read it out. 258, six catches, dropped a couple of passes. It was a full Ebron.
You had a 44-yard catch and run.
You want to know what? They're saying teams are inquiring about Ebron. Teams want him.
They were ready to be disappointed.
I found that remarkable.
You know, I could see dealing for him.
Can you send us somebody to disappoint us? We got the perfect guy. Eric.
I could see him ending up in Houston, though.
Houston's
on the market for a tight end.
Are they?
Yeah, that's what some of the rumors have been.
I'd rather pick up Greg Olsen.
I'd definitely rather pick up a stash Greg Olsen rather than that. But speaking of tight ends that didn't let you down yesterday, I was trying to sell this guy all week to everybody. I was right. It's nice to get one right. Jack Doyle.
Yeah. Jack Doyle.
Jackie D.
Check down Jackie Doyle.
Jackie D. 12 for 121 and a touchdown yesterday.
He was balling.
The game of his life.
He was balling.
Jack Doyle got it done. You know what I'm saying? It seemed like him and Brissett have something going right now. Jackie D., you got him. I think you should be happy about that moving forward. I think Jack Doyle is a thing. So Jack Doyle owners should be happy that they have him. I think you can get him out there. You can get him out there every week. I don't know what his trade value is, though.
I don't know. I don't think anything. But,
yeah, they're talking about moving Hilton. You know, that's the rumor.
Last 3 weeks for Doyle, 11 targets, Fantasy 7 trade. Targets,
I know
14 targets.
Meanwhile, the wide receivers have done nothing.
I'm talking about fantasy trade as far as the T.Y. Hilton. Cut him.
Yeah, I mean,
bench him.
He's gotten 32 targets in the last 3 weeks. He scored 2 touchdowns, a touchdown, it's 2 out of the last 3 weeks. I mean, look. I thought without Luck, he was going to be kind of irrelevant. But
the receivers are looking irrelevant. Hilton 2 catches, I think, for 14 yards, and Dante Moncrief got a donut.
I did start Robbie Anderson over T.Y. Hilton.
You know what? I was thinking about you all day yesterday. I was talking about that on Fantasy Football Live. I was like, hopefully the fantasy exec followed his own.
I sat T.Y. Hilton, started Robbie Anderson. The guy I played started Juju Smith-Schuster, but so whatever.
Let me ask you a question, Matt. You're the kind of guy who talks about, and we did with Des Bryant this morning, things open up in the second half. Guys are going to get better. Do you see that at all with T.Y. Hilton?
I'm just not going to write T.Y. Hilton off. I mean, the road splits have been stark. He had 107 yards in 3 road games going into yesterday, and it didn't improve. Would I take a shot if I got a severe discount? Probably. Am I actively going to go out? I'm not going to pay market price, that's for sure.
If somebody
2 weeks ago, you would have.
2 weeks ago, come with you right now, tomorrow, in the next couple days. Somebody comes to you, I'll give you T.Y. Hilton for your Corey Davis.
I think I might do that.
Really?
I think I might. Because Corey Davis hasn't been a football player. He hasn't been healthy. There's a difference. I am hoping that Corey Davis blows up and pays off. There is that possibility. Am I betting on it happening? I can't bet on it yet. You know, look, we see what he can do. There's still Matthews there.
Yeah.
You know, even if the tight end is hurt, Walker. Jonnu Smith will probably have a significant role in there. So I
agree. So
Hulk versus Bet is a different
philosophy. So the craziest thing with Indianapolis yesterday, Jack Doyle had 121 receiving yards. The next highest receiver was Marlon Mack, yardage-wise. Marlon Mack with 36. 36.
He did have a touchdown.
The Marlon Mack attack. Didn't Frank Gore have like 5 points?
Frank Gore was awesome yesterday.
Especially in the first half.
Frank Gore was awesome yesterday. Without Robert Turbin, we all kind of just said, Marlon Mack, Marlon Mack, Marlon Mack. Frank Gore stepped up. 82 yards.
Every time Frank Gore hears that, he steps up.
It is a good thing to see. At least there's like a rotation going on. They're both involved, at least. And Mack can catch the ball, too, so.
Yeah, 82 yards on the ground for Frank Gore, who also caught 4 passes for 19 yards.
He looked like he was back in San Francisco or something. It's, you know, every time you write Frank Gore off, it's like I'm thinking 4 years from now, oh, he's 38. He might He might start declining. It's in 4 years from now, he's still having good games.
In a league against me this week, someone started Frank Gore over Isaiah Crowell, and I, after Crowell's game, I'm like, oh, this is nice. And then Frank Gore's okay.
Yeah, no,
Frank Gore's okay. I lost because I didn't start DeAndre Washington. It's a mistake. Sorry, Josh Doctson.
Oh man.
Yeah. Mm-mm. Yeah.
I mean, I can see why you make that call, though.
Yeah, I mean, I it's annoying because I asked you guys, and you guys actually said Washington. I was like, you know what? It's going to get a zero. And it was Doctson that was going to get a zero.
That's the thing I often say, you know, when you have a tough flex decision between a running back and a wide receiver,
the running back
gets the touches.
The problem was that DeAndre Washington wasn't the goal line back for Oakland. And he wasn't necessarily, in my opinion, he wasn't the passing down back for Oakland.
I thought he was the goal line guy.
No, the fullback was.
Awale. Yeah, I didn't expect that. No. Yeah.
All right, Dave, we'll come back. We'll talk about Joe Mixon here a little bit, who I know a lot of people like this week. Joe Mixon, next, here on Little Experts.
Playing daily fantasy basketball this year? Consider Daily Roto your go-to resource. Whether you play on DraftKings or FanDuel, Daily Roto's customizable projections, podcasts, strategy guides, and lineup optimizer will help you compete with the pros in a fraction of the time. With a team featuring millionaire maker winners and live final champions, there's no better place to get your NBA DFS content. Better yet, you can save 10% using the promo code FNTSY. So go to dailyroto.com/premium and learn more about our awesome product.
Sports Radio Network. It's the Roto Experts here. And Joe Mixon yesterday, a lot of people were high on him, Corey.
Yeah.
Against Indy. Catches 3 for 91, including a 67-yard run, which should be a pass and run, rather. And that should have been a touchdown. And he wasn't fast enough, which is, like, annoying. He's Joe Mixon owner. That was frustrating. Only carried the ball 11 times on the ground for 18 yards. Back and forth game between Cincinnati and Indianapolis. And, like, even though Joe Mixon had over 100 total yards, didn't get in the end zone, I came away wanting more.
No, I don't blame you for coming away wanting more because he's a running back and he's not running the football well.
Correct.
11 carries, 18 yards is not cutting it. It's not going to get it done, especially against the Indianapolis Colts. So you should feel like you're coming away wanting more. That one long catch and run did salvage his fantasy day, but I think we may have missed on Joe Mixon.
We clearly missed on Joe Mixon.
Is that a second round pick?
Huh? Is that a second round pick?
Oh, and no. He's not a fifth-round pick.
I feel like when Matt talks about guys, though, that can, you know, kind of come out in the second half and perform better, though, I feel like Mixon's too talented. When you see a 67-yard catch and run, I think that shows the potential. You know, I know we've been saying it all along, but the guy hasn't been completely useless. And I just think as time goes on, because, look, Jeremy Hill started, but he wasn't a factor. Giovanni Bernard wasn't a factor, so... You know, Mixon's still going to continue to at least be a pretty good flex.
You know, he had the 67-yard catch and run, yes, for sure. But, like I said, he wasn't fast enough to get in the end zone, which bothered me a little bit. And 11 carries, and this is against the Colts, just 11 carries for 18 yards, that's not good enough.
No.
And I know we keep saying Joe Mixon's the type of guy that can win you a league, that he's a type of guy that you want in the second half, but I can't say that when you have 11 carries for 18 yards against the Colts.
It's somewhere in the middle of, you know, the potential, but then the other thing is opportunity doesn't always lead to production. He's somewhere vacillating in the middle there. He's floating in the middle there. And I think it's going to go up before it goes down.
I think it has to go up, Scotty. I do. Like, he's clearly the best running back on this team. The snaps are obviously now there. They've recognized this. I still need him to be better.
He's gotten off to a slow start. It's his rookie year. I think there's going to be more progress. I'm optimistic.
Very disappointing game from A.J. Green. 3 catches, 27 yards. This is a touchdown. So they saved there. Got you over 10 PPR points. So that was okay. Brandon LaFell, I know a lot of people, you liked him a lot this week, didn't you, LaFell?
Yeah.
4 for 44. You had to hope for better than that, of course. Tyler Croft, 5 for 46 on the day as a tight end that I know a lot of people are high on. You know, you get close to those 10 PPR points for a streaming tight end, I think you're okay, Scott. I think that's okay.
Yeah, because, you know, there's other days where he's going to be 2 for 16 in a touchdown, so it almost comes out to the same thing.
Good point.
Yeah.
That's a good point. So there you go. Andy Dalton, who was a popular streaming quarterback yesterday. Matty started Andy Dalton over Deshaun Watson in several places. 243 and 2.
Yeah, we were talking about this yesterday on the Roto Experts Game Day Edition with myself, Mike Blewett, and Joe Pisapia. And Joe made, we came up with the point again where just like, you can't always just look at the matchup. I'm not saying, you know, Matt's a much more experienced fantasy football player than that, but you can't look at the matchup. Sometimes you got to play the better quarterback. And Andy Dalton historically has been the type of quarterback where you look at the matchup and he can, you know, play a stinker or just give you a decent game. And that's what Joe and I both feared. You know, that's why I couldn't bring myself to start Dalton over Watson.
Yeah, you know, and obviously worked out certainly in a major way here for you, Deshaun Watson. That ridiculous game, we'll talk about that coming up in a few again. Andy Dalton was just, hey, you know, 17 catches. And the Colts defense actually played really, really well in this game.
Yeah, Joe made another good point about that yesterday. He goes, I don't care how bad of a defense you are, you know, when people start blasting you and stuff like that, and you hear it. You know, some defenses try to at least come back and play with some pride.
Tell you what, you know, another defense that played with pride and continues to play with pride, that's Chicago. The Bears' defense is good. And
yeah, they play good defense.
They continue to play defense, home, away. This is a tough spot in New Orleans, and they actually played really well. I know New Orleans was driving a couple times. Mark Ingram lost two fumbles, which was very, very costly for them. But the Bears hung around and hung around and hung around, just couldn't get the job done.
Yeah, the Bears are missing, like, their best player on defense. They took a couple other key injuries to linebackers. And I was going on the narrative that at home they've been good. But to hold the Saints down like that, look, as you mentioned, Ingram had two big fumbles as they were driving, you know, close to the red zone and stuff. Hopefully, you know, this doesn't affect him going forward. At least I'm hoping as a Mark Ingram owner.
Yeah, the Bears are being respectable. They're playing respectably, and I guess if you're a Bears fan, you know, that's all you can ask for.
Real quick on Mark Ingram, the last three games, 30 touches, 26 touches, 24 touches. He's, you know, even with Alvin Kamara having a significant role, he's still getting a touch.
Both these guys startable right now. Ingram yesterday, 18 carries, 75 yards, and that touchdown. Also caught six catches for 24 yards. That's 24. Alvin Kamara, 3 for 48, and also ran 8 for 28, including a touchdown. So I'll talk more about this game in a little bit. We'll come back. We'll reset. Talk Texans and Seattle in the game of the year yesterday. Roto Experts goes live on your televisions next.